know that it is the budget speech today. Some of us will be attending physically, so you know that there's a long procedure before we can get into the building. We have to be physically in Parliament, and we all are aware that we, since our Parliament has been burnt down,
recording in progress,
will be in the NCLP chamber, so there is quite a bit of difficulty getting in there. The security, the COVID regulations, the venue being small, social distancing. I would then, I'm not going to rush the meeting, but I do urge that SAPS does keep its presentation very short. We have received our presentation 7 days in advance, and we've had an engagement on the Central Firearm Registry. We are going to do the Nord Police Station. Honorable members, please remember that on the 4th and the 5th of March, we will be visiting the Nord and Tembisa police stations. So good morning. That is quite a bit of a mouthful. Honorable members, I would like to thank the police and commend the police for the good work they have done at the Rosettaville. There were lives lost. Some of our policemen have lost their lives. So we, as on behalf of the portfolio committee, I would like to congratulate the police, but I'd also like to convey our condolences to the families of those brave men and women who lost their lives. Honorable members, could we observe a moment of silence for our men and women in blue who lost their lives? May their dear souls rest in peace. Honorable members, I have allowed the minister to apologize. The minister has a substantial matter that he has to present to cabinet. This quarter, I will be quite strict on allowing the minister to attend the cabinet. Honorable members, you must allow, remember that if we want the minister here every Wednesday, nothing goes to cabinet. We would like the SAPS bill to go to cabinet and that it goes to the cabinet committees. That would mean that we would have to allow the minister to attend those cabinet meetings and those cabinet committee meetings. There are serious matters that we and challenges that we have to take to the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. We all have seen the outcome of the High Panel Review Committee report on the violence in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. So the minister and the national commissioner will be called to the Standing Committee of Intelligence regularly. Today, I've also accepted the apology of the national commissioner, who is indeed attending the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. There's no way that I could have not allowed him to apologize. As we can see, the deputy minister is here. He's here every week. We want to commend our deputy minister for that. And I would also like to thank all the generals, those who will be representing the national commissioner. Please don't ask me where's the national commissioner and where's the minister. I've allowed them to be in cabinet and to be in the Joint Standing Committee on Intelligence. There's no argument about that, honorable colleagues. The next that I would like to raise is that I have invited CETA to the meeting. I'm sure that we will all want to engage with CETA. My apologies for CETA for calling them at such short notice. You will all, I'm sure, understand, colleagues, that even in today's meeting, you would have asked me, where is CETA? So I've done that. You would see that CETA is present here today. The CEO, Mr. Levuyo Kenyise, I tried getting him, but because of such short notice, you can understand. If he has sent a representative, I see Ms. Tanya Abrams, who is here from CETA. Ms. Abrams, when we do have that item on the Central Firearm Registry, I'll also give you an opportunity. If Mr. Keiso, I don't see him here. Is he
here, Chair?
Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
Mr. Keiso,
Thank you. I'm
welcome
here.
to the video. Yes, welcome.
I am here too. Thank you.
Oh, sorry, I didn't see your name here. So, but I'm rushing today. Welcome, we definitely need you today. Colleagues, unfortunately, I couldn't get the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure on such short notice, but I have committed to bring the Department of Public Works, the Minister, and the DG, the Deputy Minister, to the committee. The CEO of CETA, Executive Director, will indeed be given an opportunity to speak. The members, I'm sure you would obviously want reports on this. Members, I have also indicated that we will await the Human Rights Commission inquiry report. You have seen that Human Rights Commission investigation is ongoing. As soon as that Human Rights Commission report has been completed, it will be referred to the speaker. The speaker will then refer it to the committee. So kindly please be patient. We are following that investigation and inquiry by the Human Rights Commission with keen interest. Could I have the agenda flighted, please, Babawa? Babawa or Nicolette, can I have the
recording
agenda?
Stopped. Recording in progress.
Good morning, Chairperson. We're just waiting for Babawa quickly. I unfortunately don't have housing rights.
Thank you, Nicolette. Colleagues, while we're waiting for, there we have the agenda. Could we do the apologies and then we will do the adoption of the minutes of the 16th of February. Do we have an adoption of the agenda? Do I have a proposal?
Sheikh Imam proposes.
Sheikh Imam proposes adoption, seconder.
CIB seconds.
Thank you very much, Honorable Work. We have a seconder. Could we now have the apologies, please?
Good morning, Chairperson, members, and everyone present. I received the apologies from Honorable Patrick, Honorable Sabini, Honorable Moss, the Minister, and Honorable Majozi. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Moss has a bereavement in her family. She lost her brother. We have received the apologies from the minister and the deputy minister. The minister and the NASCOM, they sent me their letters. And Honorable Patrain is on maternity leave. We have a number of apologies, but we do have a quorum.
Chairperson. Sorry, yes. Chairperson, can I come?
Yes.
Chairperson, I'm attending a chief force plus the budget lockdown later this morning. So I'll be with you till about 10 o'clock. Thank you, Chairperson.
It is understood. All those who need to leave for the budget, it is understood. Thank you and accepted. We have indeed offered our condolences to those who SAPS members who have passed away. Then members, the introduction of the Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, the advertisement for the call for inputs from the public, the consultation through the public will be extended by 2 weeks. There was an error which occurred. We will publish an erratum with the email address for comments to be sent to. So allow me to please extend the consultative period by 2 weeks. If there is an error which occurred, the committee cannot continue at the same pace that we had expected. I need to do the consultation processes adequately. I do not want any complaints with this time frame, which is so tight. I cannot afford any complaints, and I cannot afford to reverse the processes of consultation of the bill. Would that be in order, honorable members? That I extend it by 2 weeks for consultation? Honorable members, do I have any objection to that? Are you in agreement?
Yes, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, could we now have the minutes? Babawa, could we have the minutes, please? Honorable members, you have received the minutes. Do you have any corrections that you wish to make? Any corrections you wish to make? Additions? Any corrections or additions? You have read the minutes. You have received the minutes. Any corrections, additions? If none, do I have a proposal for the adoption of the minutes?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Molekwa, move for the adoption of the minutes as presented.
Thank you, Honorable Molekwa. Do I have a seconder? Honorable Peacock has a very bad network. Honorable Peacock seconds. Thanks, Honorable Peacock. I can hear that you have a bad connection. Maybe you could just assist, you could try and get a better connection.
Allowed to make regulations administrative in nature. Some are executive in nature and others are legislative in nature. And
would you please mute your mic? Honorable Sheikh Imam. Honorable Sheikh Imam, could you please mute your mic? You are disturbing our meeting. Honorable Deputy Minister, since the Minister is not here, you may now introduce your presentation on the Central Firearm Registry. And then you can hand over. I'm just being corrected to say that no member of SAPS passed away. I don't know where this information, I was first told yesterday that there was someone who passed away. Now I'm told that no one from SAPS passed away. I am relieved and very happy to hear this DM. Correction, honorable members. I received that correction from the DM. Honorable DM, you may start now and introduce the topic.
No, good morning, Chair, and morning to members of the committee. Yes, indeed, I can confirm that nobody died from amongst the law enforcement officers. You are correct, Chair. There was a media flight that indicated that one of our officers passed on. I did see that flighting even myself yesterday, but it's not correct. We just had officers who were shot, but they were able to be stabilized and they are out of danger. Some of them have been released, but though the fatalities in the main is criminals. I think police did a very brilliant work yesterday, and thanks for the words of encouragement from the committee chair on behalf of members. It's always a privilege for us as subs to appear before the committee to give an account of what we do. Today here, as we have already apologized on behalf of the Minister and the National Commissioner, I'm joined by Lieutenant General Masemola, the Deputy National Commissioner, and also Lieutenant General Mawela, the Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng, who will give us an update on the Norwood Police Station. General Masemola will lead the presentations on the Central Firearm Registry update that the committee have requested. Without further ado, Chair, due to time constraint, allow me to ask General Masemola to make a presentation on behalf of the team. But thank you once more for the opportunity. Over to you, General Masemola, through you, Chair.
Thank you very much, General Masemola. You may continue. Thank you, DM.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee, the Deputy Minister, and my colleagues who are in attendance. Just to maybe start at that, in attendance, we do have Lieutenant General Uma and the CFO.
Members, am I having a, General, whose connection is problematic? Is it mine or is it yours?
I'm not sure, Honorable Chair, but
you are better now. You were fading. Oh. Do you have a stable connection where you are?
Yeah, no, there is stable connection.
All right, you may continue.
All right. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. Together with me is Lieutenant General Fuma, the CFO, General Dimpani, the Lieutenant General Musala, Major General Hankins and Groenewald, and the acting DIVCOM detectives, Major General Motsepe, Major General Peters, and some other colleagues. Let's start the presentation, Honorable Chair. You would recall that we last visited the CFR and we gave some action plan in terms of progress. So today we are just updating progress in terms of where we are. Thanks very much. Can we go to the second slide? The next slide. Yeah, the overview of the presentation, Honorable Chairperson, will be as follows. We'll first have the introduction. Secondly, the status of firearm application, the status of firearm amnesties, section 4, the status of system and alternative accommodation for the CFR. Next slide. As I said, Honorable Chairperson, we had the CFR action plan, which addresses some areas that were teething problems in this environment. And since the last meeting, Honorable Chairperson, we allocated 30 million rand additional to the baseline to assist the CFR in finalizing the amnesty firearm applications. And this money was not utilized only for CFR, it was for CFR, the provinces, as well as Division Forensics, and including the printing of license cards and firearm destruction. In terms of finalization of applications, the CFR performance has improved since the last quarter to the third quarter by 13.92%. And we also have seen the forensic IBIS reports increased during the third quarter by 145%. Provinces also increased finalization of the renewal of firearm applications, which I'm sure we are aware that renewal of farm licenses, especially the Section 13, which is self-defense, is done in the provinces. So then the performance was as follows for quarter one, 25,443 completed, and quarter two, 32,125, and quarter three, 52,198 respectively. And of course, we also acknowledge, Honorable Chair, that we are not yet out of the woods. There is still some of these firearms licenses that we are attending. We still need to attend amongst some of the challenges we have. There is an allocation of 62 million for both the e-submission, which is the electronic firearm submission, firearm application submission, and the acquisition of the digital filing system, which of we is not yet utilized as we depend on our counterparts, especially your CETA and Department of Public Works. As I said, the presentation will cover 1st April 2021 up to 31st of December 2021. Next slide. In terms of all firearm license application, Honorable Chair, it's important to underline all firearm license applications. For the first quarter of last year, we received 123,948 applications. And after processing, we had to carry through on hand 330,557. Quarter two, we received 102,448. And after processing, we carry through on hand 331,804. And in quarter three, we received 95,009. And the carry through on hand was 326,942. A total of 321,445 applications were received for the first three quarters, and a total of 326,942 applications were still outstanding, and that includes 79,868 amnesty applications. Next slide. On this slide, we are dealing with the status of firearm applications at Central Firearm Registry. So this is what is at CFR. The previous was all, this is at CFR. A total of 247,186 applications were finalized for the period April to December, with the first quarter totaling 70,900 application finalized, and which we have received 123,000. We finalized 70,900, and the carry through on hand is 176,970. The second quarter, we received 102,448. We finalized during that period 172,580 was on hand. The third quarter, 95,009 and 78,01, finalized 201,000 carried forward. The number of applications finalized from the 70,900 to 98,000 and 78,000 respectfully. And during the third quarter, one would realize the performance dipped a little bit due to firstly we're preparing to move from Veritas building to the Telkom towers during that time, and secondly we know which one of the reasons which is unacceptable but a reality, we had the pandemic where the building have to close now and then. When the Omicron started, it affected quite a lot of members, which access to the building was intermittently so, and that's the reason why there was a decline in the performance. Next slide. In terms of the age analysis of application in the process at CFR, all applications that are between 0 and 120 days, in terms of competency certificates, we have 49,472, and between 121 and 240 days, we have 65,792. And those that are 241 days and above competencies, 8,992. And the total number of application on hand is 124,256 in terms of competency certificate. In terms of firearm licenses, the second one, we have 19,000, followed by 23,000, 29,000, and 73,000 respectively. Renewal of business licenses, which is only done at CFR, we have 2,000 at the 0 to 120 days, 90,000, 40,000, and 201,000 respectively. We must indicate that we are concentrating on those that are long outstanding, and a total of 130,082 applications are outstanding for more than 120 days, which includes 79,868 of amnesty-related applications, which are dependent on IB's reports. We should also remember that one of the conditions of the amnesty was that all the firearms should be IB's tested. Hence, we have portioned some money from Directorate Policing to the detectives to assist the forensic services in expediting amnesty firearm IBIS test related function. Next slide. License applications for surrendered firearms in total is 105,638. And for the first amnesty is 76,225. The second amnesty, 29,413. And a total of 105 were received for both amnesties, and that includes 916 applications, which are still have to be captured. And this 916 firearm applications that are captured are due to mostly preferences, which depend on reports from gunsmith. That might be the description of firearm, which there is either a dispute or problems around descriptions of specific calibers made and so on. And a total of 22,000 firearm applications were finalized. 14,057 firearm applications for the first amnesties, and 8,110 for the second amnesty. Next slide. In terms of the firearms and ammunition surrendered for both amnesties, 165,952 firearms were surrendered, which is divided accordingly as per the first pie chart. And the ammunition is the pie chart on the on my right, which indicates the total that has been surrendered for both amnesties. Next slide. In terms of firing tests and specimen received at the forensic science laboratory, we have from the 165,952 firearms surrendered, a total of 148 were eligible for firing tests, and 28,000 were not test fired due to either mechanical defects or firearm components that cannot really be test fired, or either defective firearms or old firearms that we cannot find ammunition for it, or some are barrels, as we know that a barrel is a firearm in terms of the act, so you cannot shoot a barrel on its own. Next slide. In terms of IPC reports finalized per quarter, we can see that the first quarter, there was 699 reports finalized. The second quarter, 4,402. And the third quarter, after the allocation or the apportionment of the overtime, there was a drastic, a better increase of 10,800 in terms of testing, test firing of these firearms for ballistic reports. Next slide. In terms of the status.
My apologies, General. Please do not read it word for word. We have received the presentation, and I would like to give sufficient time for the members to ask questions and you to give responses. My apologies.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. In terms of the new firearm systems, the e-solution and the digital e-filing system, the progress is as follows. I'm sure my colleagues from CETA, they will also allude in this regard that they reported that there was a bid adjudication committee, and they are processing the matter in their space, and that they are reviewing their processes. There was some technical glitches in terms of, I think, internally with regard to processing, and also the CETA board, which couldn't meet, but I think they have crossed that bridge now. They are about to finalize the process, but I think they will also talk more on that. In terms of the digital filing system, the same progress goes for it. They are still busy with the enterprise content management strategy, which they are busy with specification, and the closing date was just the last month, and it looks like there is a movement for now in this regard. So I'm sure soon we'll have a progress in this regard. Next slide. In terms of migration to telecom towers, we were supposed to move, as you are aware, somewhere in September, end of September, but we found that some of the building that we had to move to is not yet ready, and Public Works did promise that they are appointing contractors to fix some of the matters there, which included repairs and renovation, the floor carpeting, repairs to the structure in terms of aircon and lifts, and including the leaking water into the structure. And up to now, those matters were not yet fixed, so we couldn't move into the building. Only one section of CFR moved to the telecom towers, and the bigger bulk of the component is still at Veritas building, due to that the current building is not yet in a state where we can. Even our TMS and CETA can't start installing network points, servers, and their own information system. They cannot put any hardware in because of there are still some challenges, especially the water, which will definitely destroy the infrastructure. So Public Works promised they are appointing a contract. They were caught up by the festive season, which everybody closes, the building industry closes, and currently this new year, they are now, we're told, they are busy attending to this matter, and they will update us in terms of the date. But I think General Reed can talk more better on in this regard. Next slide. That makes up the presentation in terms of CR progress report, Honorable Chair and members, and I thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, General Masimula. I'm going to give Sita an opportunity to speak. Mr. Keiso, are you available to speak now?
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members of the Portfolio Committee, Deputy Minister, and my colleagues. Thank you very much. Yes, I can speak briefly, Honorable Chair. So it's two matters broadly that were raised in the slides. So I will start with the first one of your e-filing strategy, the procurement process that we're doing on behalf of the police, which the tender closed by end of January. So I can confirm we have just concluded that matter and we'll be writing to the police to confirm how we will assist them in that process in terms of developing an e-filing strategy for them, because it was a tender for $1.5 million for an e-filing strategy. So for that, we are also putting CETA resources on how we can assist them to ensure they have an e-filing strategy as quickly as possible so that they can move beyond strategy and start now ensuring they implement an e-filing solution. So that's the easier one, Chair. The second one, Chair, that I am unfortunately coming to the meeting to apologize for something that is not good, because CETA is supposed to be assisting departments, especially police, on service delivery related matters. As presented by police, management has concluded procurement processes for the firearm control system already in October, but due to the structure of CETA, that tender management is concluded at board level. More than 83% of tenders, the delegation is, it is the board that then makes the final decision on the tenders based on the information that we have submitted with the team we are working with police, because we evaluate tenders with the police. So since end October until the board's term ended in end of November and was not continued by the minister, we unfortunately had a 4-month process where we needed to ensure that the minister appoints a new board, which she has now done. A new board has been appointed, and that new board that was appointed beginning of this month, there was an induction of that board yesterday, and the DG is also here to confirm that the department will also do all they need to do to ensure the board that has just now been appointed will also ensure that not later than next week, Friday, the board concludes on the matter that management has submitted to board since October last year. And I can confirm, Chair, I did have an induction process with the board yesterday to explain the service delivery implications of not concluding on these matters, as well as the financial implication also to the police, as well as the court order to the Minister of Police if we prolong on making this decision. But I can confirm, Chair, the chair of the board has confirmed this matter will now be finalized by board not later than Friday next week. And the department, the acting DG is also here to confirm the department as the appointing authority of the board will do everything to ensure that the board can sit and ensure that this matter is concluded by Friday, failing which the management will be given the necessary delegations or authority to ensure that this matter is concluded in a way that does not affect the service delivery implications for police. Also going beyond, Chair, because it's not a nice thing for CETA to be coming and apologizing for delays within these procurement processes, we can also confirm that DG will speak to that briefly, Chair, that the minister has also made pronouncements that include that procurement matters of departmental specific solutions like what we are discussing here today should be done by departments, which means The police should also be able to run and conclude on their ICT procurement on service delivery related or department specific solutions, such as the ones that we're talking of. And our understanding as CETA management that this is a process that the minister intends to ensure that it starts working from 1st April this year. And the department and the ministry will then be preparing all the necessary communication within the month of February to prepare departments so that they can be able also to take over part of this procurement process. And as CETA management, we have committed that we will also support departments in this transition to ensure that they can be able to take over procurement on client-specific matters, and will provide them the transition support so that more than anything else, there is no service delivery implication to them, purely because of delayed tender processes. And unfortunately, Chair, with all the legal powers that I have, unfortunately, I have no delegation to conclude on this matter since end October. But I am happy now that the board is there, duly appointed, and they have confirmed, Chair, that they will make sure this matter is dealt with not later than Friday next week. I would leave it here, Chair, but I can confirm in the meeting the DG is here, also to confirm on what the department is doing as they are the appointing authority of the board. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much for that briefing. We may not be happy with it, but I'm glad that CETA is here and that I hopefully will have, and the committee will hopefully have a bit of time to engage with you. Acting DG, my apologies for not recognizing you. My gratitude and appreciation that you could also join us at such short notice. Again, I should have introduced you, so my apologies for not doing that. Acting DG, you may give us your input now. And again, sorry for putting you on the spot. I thought that it would be appropriate that you be here. The members would have quite a bit of questions, which I'm not anticipating, which I know will happen. Acting DG, the floor is yours.
A very good morning, Chair.
My apologies. Acting DG, will you also introduce yourself to the committee?
Thank you, Chair. Will do. Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the honourable members. I'd like to also greet the Deputy Minister, along with all the major generals on the platforms and my colleagues from CETA and everyone else on the platform. My name is Nonkobela Jordan Gyani. I'm the Acting Director General at the Department of Communications and Digital Technologies. Chair, I think the CE has alluded and actually repeated that, one, yes, there were delays from our side. Unfortunately, as you would know, that there was a break between the December holidays in as far as the appointment of the CETA board. We now have a full board at CETA. We have asked them that they'd urgently prioritize these outstanding tenders, Chair. So as committed that by next week Friday, this matter will be resolved. Secondly, Chair, we are, as you'd know, that we're working on the repurposing of CETA. So as department in the next financial year, there will be announcements in as far as how then to still ensure the modernization of our services as government, but at the same time deal with the issues related to transversal systems and which are those that government departments would then be able to do on their own and where then CETA would be repurposed. So we would like to bring that back, Chair, through the normal processes. Obviously, we'll have to consult Cabinet in the proposals, and then thereafter it will be issued in terms of an announcement. Chair, once again, so I just want to indicate that our apologies in terms of the adverse impact, in terms of what the delay has had with regards to efficient productivity.
Recording stopped.
Efficient productivity, but we are making sure that this matter will be concluded by next week. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Acting DG, and my appreciation for you to you for being here. Ms. Jordan Yani, I hope you could stay for a little while. We'll release you after this presentation. So please bear with us, and I will take the questions on the Central Firearm Registry, allow you to respond. If you are unable to remain with us, I'm sure the Chief Executive of
Recording in Progress
would be able to be with us. Honorable members, you have the presentation. I'm going to allow the DM to say one or two things before I start with the hands. I've noted Honorable Whitfield's hand and then De Blanche. I'm taking hands after the DM, Groenewald. I'm taking hands after the DM has been given 2 minutes. DM?
No, thanks, Chair. I think let's allow members to raise questions. We will respond at that moment. Thanks very much for this. And thanks for the presentations, Generals, and CEO and Acting DG of Communication and CETA, respectively.
My appreciation for that detailed and thorough presentations, DM and your team. Thanks to General Masimula for the presentation, and again to the CE and the Acting DG. I've noted the following hands. We'll start with Whitfield, then De Blanche, Groenewald, Siabi, and Meshu. In that order, Honorable Whitfield, you may start.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it goes without saying that the delays in processing these firearm applications is completely unacceptable, regardless of what reasons may be in place. SAPS knew full well that undertaking an amnesty would lead to an influx in administration in terms of the licensing process. But Chair, I just wondered if we could get confirmation then that for the last 2 years, since the FDA's system, the firearms permit system, has been switched off, is the main reason for the delay the fact that SAPS is still working with a pencil and paper system in terms of the administration of the firearm licensing application process? And what is the implication of any litigation pending regarding the FDA's firearms permit system? We will recall that there was a dispute in that regard, and I think the committee should get an update. Chair, then in October 2019, SAPS presented to this committee and admitted that there were SAPS members who have criminal records who have been involved with firearms processing and ballistics. So now it's 2.5 years later, Chair, and I'd like to know if there are still members of SAPS dealing with firearms processing and ballistics who have criminal records. And if there are, why is that the case? And if there aren't, what has been done to those who had criminal records who had been part of the Central Firearms Registry process? My last question, Chair. We have a presentation on firearms lost and stolen from SAPS custody. We know that this is an ongoing issue, and perhaps it relates to the issue on the Norwood police station, but because it's a firearms related matter, Chair, if you'll indulge me, is that the number of privately owned firearms is listed as incredibly high, those that are reported lost or stolen. But what percentage of those have been quote unquote lost or stolen from SAPS stores? We know that the SAPS 13 evidence lockers are targets of criminals. And we know that Colonel Prinsloo was instrumental in channeling both SAPS firearms and privately owned firearms that were destined for destruction through the CFR into criminal hands. So I think it's important that we just get an indication of the percentage of privately owned firearms reported lost or stolen, which had been lost or stolen from SAPS themselves. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable De Blanche. Of course, I've given you opportunity to raise several questions because this matter of the Central Firearm Registry, amnesties, lost firearms, is becoming a serious problem for us and for our country. And I really would like some responses today. Honorable Tablanche, Groenewald, Siabi, and then Meshu. Tablanche?
Chairperson, thank you. Chairperson, let me start by also congratulating the police on the excellent work that they did, you know, in Rosettenville. I think that is what we need in this country. And I hope that they'll be able also to, you know, duplicate that type of service delivery in other departments, especially also in the firearm section. Chairperson, I want to start by apparently, you know, part of the delays in the police and maybe, you know, to a large extent are also, you know, because of other service providers like Public Works and CETA are unable to render an effective, efficient service to them. You know, I listened to the presentation on the buildings, Chairperson, and that buildings are not going to be ready within the foreseeable future, and I would like to get some time frames on that. Chairperson, about the CETA one, we got a proper presentation on that. My concern is apparently it's now again, you know, the hot potato is going to be passed back to the police. And, you know, I hope that's not going to delay them very much further. Chairperson, then, you know, we got different presentations since 2019. Chairperson, and the figures, you know, every time that we get a presentation, you know, we get different figures. And I want to know, the police must indicate now what the correct figures are, you know, about this firearms. Chairperson, then, you know, really the whole issue about the licensing on firearms is, you know, if you take firearms, the license is outstanding for more than, you know, 90 days.
No. Major General Peters, please switch off your mic, mute yourself. You are disturbing my meeting, please. Thank you.
May I go ahead, Chairperson?
I'm sorry for disturbing you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, as I said, you know, the firearms license is outstanding more than 120 days. You know, grew to 130,000 something. I mean, that is not acceptable. The amnesty applications again grew to almost 80,000. Chairperson, we cannot go on like this any longer. Yes, and you allowed the minister, and I do understand that, and the national commissioner, you know, to be absent from this meeting. And yet we gave them this very meeting, a committee gave them instruction to go and, you know, formulate and implement a turnaround strategy. Chairperson, we don't see anything about that. It is getting out of hand. You know, our offices are flooded with people complaining about the inability of the police to issue their firearm licenses. Chairperson, I am also concerned, and that is my last question for now. You know, I want an explanation from the police. The significant low numbers of finalized firearm applications. Really, that is also a concern. Chairperson, and then I know that we're going to get a presentation also on the Norwood Police Station just after that. But you know what worries me is that what is the, you know, we got, you know, assurances from the police before we approved the amnesty that they will have, you know, proper safeguarded, you know, places where these weapons are going to be kept. And, you know, I want to know whether they have something like that still in Gauteng and what the position is on a countrywide basis. Thank you, Chairperson, for now.
Thank you, Honorable Tablanche. Honorable Groenewald.
Thank you, Chair. If you don't mind, I will just switch off my video because I'm here in Acacia Park and the signal is not very strong. Chairperson, thank you. Firstly, my question is that I think it's on slide 9. Yes, slide 9. It states that if we look at the outstanding, firearm licenses, a figure of almost 30,000, 29,877, that is outstanding for 241 plus days. Now, Chairperson, I would like to have a further analysis after the 241 days, because I know of people complaining, sending their documents and everything to me and my office, that is even more than 2 years outstanding. Now, that's more than 700 days. There's 365 days in a year. So, Chairperson, I would request on those 30,000 that we have a further analysis of, let's say, the one that is outstanding, and how many are outstanding, say, for more than 700 days or 800 days and all that sort of things. So that is my first request. Or even if the police can give me answers now, it's fine. Chairperson, there's no doubt we don't have progress. In fact, if you look at the CFR on the outstanding applications, in quarter one, it was 176,970. It has increased now to 201,607. Yes, and I hear about the Omicron and all that sort of things. The fact of the matter is, there's not progress. The backlog and the outstanding applications just increase. And I don't see that they're going to win this war, can I almost say, about applications. And I think one of the reasons, Chairperson, is that it's poor planning. And why I say that is that that's my next question. The migration to Telkom Towers, it is now said that it was found that certain outstanding matters and water leaks and all that sort of things. But when we visited the CFR in May last year, it was already requested that we must support the police services, that the rental at Veritas must not be extended, and that was then supposed to be ended by mid of September last year. And we said, yes, we agree. Now, Chairperson, with great respect, if you know that you're not going to extend the rental contract and you are looking for a new building, surely you make sure that the next building complies to all the requirements you have. And I know for a fact that at the CFR at Veritas, the personnel were ordered and they had to put all the applications, and those who were there know how all those documents were piled up in the corridors, in the rooms and everything, to put them into crates, because they're now going to migrate to Telkom Towers. Then, at number 99, it was realized, but it's not suitable. Then the personnel had to unpack lots of those crates and to start working again. Well, at this moment, it says there's only one section relocated. So I would like to know which section has been relocated. Now, Chairperson, I want also to know why the poor planning. How is it that the department could not establish that before they ordered the people to pack everything, that they did not know that the building is not complying to certain specifications? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kunawa. Do you have more questions? You've been very short today.
No, I'm covered, Chairperson. Let's get these. I mean, on the statistics, we can ask many questions, but I know what the answers are going to be. Let's continue.
Thank you, Honorable Kunawa. Could we then now have Honorable Siabi? Sir Blanche, please lower your hand. Honorable Siabi.
Thank you, Chair. And let me greet colleagues
and all who are in the on the platform. I want to start by appreciating the submission by CETA that they've concluded the tender on EFI's strategy. We hope from here it will be able to move forward. But further to request the department through the acting DG that really to push the board to meet as promised by next week Friday, the latest, and finalize the process. I just want to check with the acting DG whether there's no intervention that can be made, because boards can be appointed and dismissed at any time. We're still going to have this thing even in the future. What is the plan? In the absence of the board, is the CEO not given powers to conclude, or the department given powers to conclude? What is the plan in case we experience these problems again in future? We also want to welcome the repurposing of CETA, because the implication is that some of the responsibilities will revert back to departments to deal with them, so that we avoid this kind of problems. On the issue of buildings, I just want to check whether we are paying rent for both Veritas and but further to really support you, Chair, when you said we need a meeting urgently with the leadership of Public Works so that we are able to understand what are the challenges. Because the support to
Honorable Siabe, I lost you.
Yes, Chair, thanks.
You back? You back?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yes, you back now?
Yes, I don't know where you lost me, but my question was, are we paying rent for both buildings, Veritas and Telkom Towers? Further to support your view, Chair, that we need to convene a meeting as a matter of urgency where Public Works leadership, including the minister and the DG, to come and tell us what are the challenges. Because it's not only about these two buildings. There are police stations that have been built. And when you ask those on the ground, they tell you that the problem is Public Works, so that we are able to get a full view of what is happening. On the firearm licenses, I want to support my colleague who said the committee once gave the national commissioner to come up with a turnaround plan. And if we can emphasize that, let that turnaround plan come as a matter of urgency. It be submitted to the committee so that we can interrogate it and we're able to hold subs to that plan. Because yes, the numbers are not pleasing, the outstanding numbers. I see somewhere they tried to intervene through overtime. Is that sustainable? Can we continue with that to make sure that we deal with the numbers? Because people have 12 months or more waiting for the response, it really is a problem. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Siabe. Honorable Siabe, I have asked that Public Works gives us a more detailed presentation and that they do not only come and respond to us on the Veritas and Twin Towers meeting, Telkom Towers. Sounds like the Twin Towers collapsing here. Honorable members, when we did our anticipated underspending, Honorable Neshu, I'll give you an opportunity now. We are looking at infrastructure being at a spending pattern of 20.9%. SAP stated that 4 police stations will be completed in 2021-2022. One of these police stations, Mukavuma, was started in 2014. You are saying 5 years. Honorable members, we are going into 8 years. And the police station, these are just the ones I know of, Mukavuma, Mabiskral also started in 2014. If we speak of a backlog at the Central Firearm Registry, the backlog building police stations, if you started in 2014 and you haven't completed a police station by 2022, it takes you 8 years to build one police station, then we have a serious problem. In our meeting in the next term with Public Works, we'll expect a full presentation from Public Works, from the police stations that are anticipated to be built, those that were supposed to be built and have never been built, those are currently being built, and how far they are. This process of building police stations and the slow pace of delivery is impacting very heavily on our crime prevention strategy. How do you prevent crime if you have no police stations? Just as we are inundated with emails and calls about firearms, Honorable Groenewald, I've said continuously in this meeting that I receive emails, up to 100 emails a day, just complaining about firearm applications, which take 2 years, 3 years. This guy, the service delivery that we have, the performance that we have, is totally unacceptable. I agree with you, Honorable de Blanche. I will call the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure to a meeting, a full session just with them. Our underspending will be directly related to Department of Public Works and Infrastructure and CETA. We requested monies to be rolled over. We'll lose the money due to Public Works and CETA and Honorable Executive Director and Acting DG. Our budget will be cut today over the MTF period. We cannot continue asking for an increase in our budget if we are unable to spend our money. Honorable members, you will have quite a bit of concerns, and I certainly am not going to accept this situation. Honorable members, I have spoken to the minister. The minister and the deputy minister are equally frustrated. So it is time that we address this. We've raised this matter of Public Works and CETA since 2019. Our first meeting of this was raised in 2019. Honorable Meshu, you have an opportunity now, and then I'll take a round of responses.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe let me start by commenting on what you just said. I do not understand why for years the police have to voice their frustrations, including the Minister of Police, because of the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure that is failing to deliver. It does not make sense. If Public Works cannot serve the police with efficiency, there must be Plan B. Or otherwise, the police must be allowed to build their own buildings, because it does not make sense that for years, from the minister downwards,
everybody complains about public works. If they cannot deliver, then let's do without them. There must be a way out. So that's my first concern. Now, my questions are going to be based on migration to Telkom Towers on slide 11. It is said that CFR was supposed to relocate on the 30th of October 2021. My question, first question is, as they made that decision of relocating on the 30th of October, were they not consulting with the Department of Public Works when they came to that date? And if Public Works agreed with that date that they could relocate, and Public Works has failed, we cannot just say, well, Public Works has failed, let's just carry on with normal business. It's not normal, it is frustrating, it is definitely not making sense. When we were there in May at the CFR, at the Veritas building, we were not told about identified challenges. We were not told about any additional repairs and renovations that had to be done at Telkom Towers. The impression we were given was Telkom Towers was almost ready for occupation. So is this not a delaying tactic? I do not understand the additional repairs and renovation that they're talking about that has stopped the migration process. Now, one of the issues we complained about and we raised as a concern last year as a result of the frustration of lack of movement in the relocation was the question that was asked, which was, is there somebody in the top echelons of the police who is benefiting from renting that Veritas building? Even though that the Veritas building is in a very poor state, and the staff that was working there, the police working there, they were saying that building demotivates them because there are signs that it might collapse. Some of them might be injured when they go to work. So they even said that they are not working freely because of concerns, because of safety concerns. So the question that I'm not sure was answered was, who owns that Veritas building that SAPS does not want to leave? And who benefits from renting that building that is on the state of collapse? So I want to know that. Now, the last question on this is, we are told the migration process will commence once the Department of Public Works has addressed identified challenges. There are no timelines. Now, if they say once Public Works has identified and addressed the challenges, identified challenges, this can take another 2 years. Chairperson, you have said it takes an average of 8 years to build one police station. Public Works has failed to build a police station, a single police station in 8 years. Now, how will they address these identified challenges in a short space of time if they are not given a timeline? They are not given a date by when they should finish. So, Chairperson, this obviously is all frustrating. We need specifics. If they say the migration will only happen after Public Works has addressed challenges, by when? And when have they started? If we can get the report that Public Works have started and this is their target date of concluding what they're working, that would say to us that progress is going to be made. But to be told that migration will only commence once that has happened, it can happen the next 3 or 4 years. So we need specifics. When are they planning to end this? And the Department of Police, they must insist on Public Works giving them the date of by when do they believe they will be done. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Obviously, Public Works is not here to answer for themselves. We'll invite them and give them an opportunity to address the committee in the next term. In our next quarter, we'll have them on the program. I'll make sure that the proposed program for next term includes the Department of Public Works and Infrastructure. DM and your team, you now have an opportunity to respond.
Thanks very much, Chair. Thanks for the question. I'll ask that General Masemola and the team respond when one will come and make a comment at the end. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Dean. General Masemola, and your team.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I will answer, of course, together with the team. Honorable Chair, in terms of the members that are dealing with firearms that have got criminal convictions, currently we do not have. Those that we had, we dealt with them in terms of the disciplinary regulations, and most of them were dismissed. And there are some criminal cases still ongoing. Currently, we do not have. In terms of privately owned firearms that were stolen, we will look at going work on the figure and bring it. But for now, one can safely say, as we know, we do have 41 amnesty firearms that were stolen, and in Mpumalanga we do have 3 also that are stolen that I can offhand quickly I know about. We will go back and look at the figure and will supply to the committee. I'll ask the TMS to answer on the question of, is there any possible litigation in terms of the switching off the FDA firearm permit system? My colleagues will answer that one when I'm done. And in terms of the storages of firearms, yes, we do have storages, as we are aware, at police stations and also at provincial offices. And during the amnesty, we call that we send most of the firearms at central storages in provinces. And the National Commission have approved further now recently that we look at further central storages. So we are engaging various stakeholders, including the SNDF, in terms of getting better, good quality central storages so that we reduce not only amnesty firearms, but all firearms, SAP 13 firearms that are exhibited at police stations, to move them to specific storages. So we are currently busy with that. In terms of the question around long outstanding, more than 241 days, yes, we do acknowledge there is such firearm license that are pending for quite long. And we will engage with our legal services and look at the other avenues in terms of what can be done. And in terms of our movement to Telkom, I would also ask General Hankins to respond on that one. But as I was also present, I know Honorable Chair and members, during that time, September, we were told, yes, we are going to get out of Veritas at the end of September. Hence, members started picking. And before that time, we were promised by, of course, our supply chain together with the DPWI, that the work that they have there is not much, because it's mostly what I described earlier, the issues of carpeting, issues of repairs to some minor issues in the building, including aircon and lifts. So that's the guarantee they gave us, that it will be done. And it is unfortunate that it hasn't been done. Even the lifts are still not working as we speak. But we base that on that movement, based on what the promise that they gave us, that they will be finished by then. But the supply chain will talk more further on that one. The section that I've moved to telecom building, the section that deals with permits and authorization, they have already moved to one part or section of the telecom towers. My colleagues will also deal with the paying of both Veritas and telecom. Supply chain will talk to that. We promise honorable chair members we will go and relook amongst these challenges that we have in terms of building, as well as the online application system, which CETA says they are, will be finalized soon. We will go and look at other avenues and come up with a turnaround plan, as Honorable Siabi have alluded to, and see as to what further can we do, and look at a solution, a turnaround plan that can at least be able to satisfy also members of the public, but of course also still working within the law. We will work on that turnaround strategy. Supply chain, I think they will also talk to the issue of ownership of Veritas building, and in terms of I think in terms of also the timelines, I'll leave it to supply chain to talk to that. I'll also ask General Mamuteti to also talk to other matters of the figures that seems to be changing, and also in terms of the number of days. I'll first start with General Mamuteti before I go to General Fuma and supply chain. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, before we take the next response, Honorable Molekwa has had network challenges. I see she's back now. Even though you've lost some of the inputs and debates, Honorable Molekwa, would you like to ask a question before I take further responses? Honorable Molekwa? It doesn't seem as Honorable Molekwa would like to come in now. General Masimola, your team may continue.
Okay. Honorable Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Good morning once more, and good morning to the honorable members, the Deputy Minister of Protocol of Death. On the question of the statistic in terms of the firearms that have been surrendered, we have been consistent after we were advised by the committee that our figures are not telling. So what we did, we utilized the figures for the system and also checked manually what is still outstanding in terms of the capturing. So we have been adding all of them all along since that meeting. But however, during December, we got a request from Western Cape, where they indicated that they have done an audit to verify whether there's still some firearms that are sitting at the station. So they came back and they said they found 125 firearms that were still not captured on the system. Hence, the figure just increased to 165,952 during December. But all along, we were consistent in terms of the figures that were submitted to the portfolio committee. The analysis of the breakdown, we'll do a thorough analysis as it was requested by the honorable members in terms of the number of days and be able to submit in writing to the portfolio committee. Maybe just to add on that, that yes, we acknowledge that the overtime is not sustainable, but currently under the circumstances that we are facing, we will still continue with the overtime, taking the advantage that most of the members have now come and are now back in the office. And also that we have set a meeting and consulted with our members. We have increased the individual targets of our members, which is also something that we are constantly monitoring. But over and above, under the conditions that the members are working on, we are also continuously monitoring, I mean, motivating the members so that they can actually be able to deliver as promised. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Next.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairperson. Can I continue?
Yes, you may.
Good morning, Chair, honourable members of the committee. I also want to greet the Deputy Minister, all the DNCs, Lieutenant Generals on the platform, and my colleagues. It is Major General Hankins from Division Supply Chain Management. Chairperson, with regards to the issue of migration from Veritas Building to Telkom Towers, I want to indicate that the commitment that we made to the committee that we will be vacating Veritas at the end of the lease period, that was at the end of October, was based absolutely on the commitment that we got from the Department of Public Works, that by the end of October, the IT building
recording
would
stopped.
Be ready,
the recording has stopped.
Will be ready for occupation, and we would be able to then move in come the 1st of November. Chair, I can indicate that when it came to time for us to move, we were then told by Department of Public Works that unfortunately the IT building was not ready for occupation. They were looking at a period of 2 more years for completion of the IT building. Chair, we did not, we tried by all means to see what else can we sort out to move Veritas. At that stage, Chair, we had a part of the Northern Tower of Telkom Towers, as well as the annex building that was handed over to us as SAS. We then, Chairperson, went and we identified a possible space to be utilized by the CFR at annex building. I want to, at this point, just reiterate, Chair, that this was handed over to us by Department of Public Works. In other words, the project was completed. They indicated that all was in order, everything was ready, and we could occupy. Chairperson, when we went to annex building, we then picked up with a CFR all the challenges that we raised. For an example, the issue of the visible water leaks in the basement area. There was an issue with the lifts not working on the day we did inspection. Chairperson, there is the issue of the carpets that were really in a terrible condition. So we got Department of Public Works back on site, Chairperson, and we highlighted our concerns to them once again to say, to enable our CFR to move into annex building, we require that this item is fixed as a matter of urgency. Chairperson, we have been communicating with Department of Public Works on a regular basis. I can indicate, Chair, and the Deputy Minister maybe will also speak to it. There was a meeting yesterday
recording
that was
progress.
Chaired by our Deputy Minister, as well as Department of Public Works and SAPS Chair, where we could tie them down for timelines to complete the work that needs to be done in the annex building. Chairperson, unfortunately, we could not get any commitments with regards to timelines, Chair. There was an indication that they are still in the process of appointing a contractor for the work to be completed at Annex Building. Chair, I can maybe also indicate while we are at Veritas Building, it is on a month-to-month basis, Chairperson. We are paying a rent on a month-to-month basis. I can, however, indicate, Chair, that there has been an attempt by the landlord, Chair. He has made some upgrading to the building. He is not complete, Chair, but there has been work done with regards to the lift. as well as the aircons. I believe the aircons are now working in Veritas building. So the landlord has at least been coming in to do some repairs. And then, Chairperson, as an immediate solution as well, Chair, we will be in the process of at least relocating some of the old documentation to the annex building, Chair. It's not ready for occupation by all members, but at least the old documentation, Chairperson, we will start moving out of Veritas building into the storeroom. I must indicate, Chair, there is
recording
a few
stopped.
Touch-ups that we
the
must do
recording
to
in progress.
The storeroom. We must just add some security to the storeroom, Chair, and then also just look at how do we ensure that the dampness does not impact on our documents. Yes, Chairperson, and if that's what I can say about our migration to Telkom Towers. Then, Chair, very quickly, Chairperson, you spoke on the issue of our police stations. Chair, we have got our commitment this year was to complete Mukavuma and Mabiskral. Chair, I can indicate that, yes, indeed, those two police stations are completed, Chair. The other station that we made a commitment to complete, Chairperson, was also Mabiskral. Chairperson, Rimfastmark. Unfortunately, we have a contractor that is delaying a little bit with completion of the work. We are almost done with the finalization of that police station as well, Chairperson. Then, Chair, just lastly, I think from our side, we want to just appreciate that the committee will get the Department of Public Works also to come and maybe give answers here, Chair, and or maybe we can also tie them down to some timelines, because from our side, Chair, we really battle to get something from them. And then, Chairperson, I can indicate we are only paying rent for Veritas building. We do not pay rent for the Telkom Towers building, Chairperson, as it is a state-owned building. Chairperson, thank you. I think I have touched on most of the issues regarding the migration. Thank you, Chair.
Morning, General Hankins. I am from the Northern Cape. Rimfastmark also started in 2014. You may continue, General Masimola. General Masimola?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. If General Vuma or TMS can comment on the issue around possible litigation for an payment system. Thanks.
Good morning, Chairperson, the Deputy Minister, the members of the Portfolio Committee, DMCs and the Corps. This is Major General Mavundla. I am speaking from Major General Buthelezi as we are sitting together. The possibility of reviving the FPS system, the system was switched off in 2018, and CETA was tasked from SAPS from the 15th of October 2020 to look at the alternative solution. CETA may then therefore be required to indicate the status on this alternative that the SAPS had tasked CETA to look for the alternative against the solution that was developed before, because there were claims that had followed on the development of the FPS. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, General Vuma. Next.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I think that is all the questions. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Can we allow Chair CETA to talk to the alternative system?
Can we see if we have CETA, the CE of CETA, or the acting DG?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, again. Sorry, I'm trying a different device. I'm assuming you can hear me, Chair, and the members?
Yes, we can hear you.
All right, thank you very much, Chair. So let's start with the question. So on the FPS system, because we were tasked by the police to develop an alternative system, which we have done so, but also then we were tasked to stop on that system by the police. I can confirm we have now been retasked again by the police to further develop the FPS system. And we will provide to the committee chair, if so required, a detailed progress report of how far we are with the development that we were asked to do just recently. So I commit, chair, we can make that available to the committee as well as the police within a week's time. I apologize, I didn't have the question, otherwise I would have brought the information to the meeting, chair. I think the other two questions, Chair, whilst I'm here, that were asked, one by yourself, that the issues around service delivery challenges from CETA that started from 2019, which we indeed do confirm, Chair, because the two-year period, we have really tried to be working with the police to ensure we address service delivery implications, and the board-related issues, basically, we're now putting mud on that process. But we are comfortable that at least the acting DG is here. And we'll also confirm, Honorable Siadi, the question that you are asking, that if this thing happens again, when there is no board within CETA, that there should be legislative instruments or legal instruments that are done to ensure that at least an MD, a CEO, the management that is there is given the necessary delegation to ensure that service delivery is not hampered because of the lack of the board. But we can also confirm that, Chair, that the decision that the minister has made to ensure that some of the procurement, the bulk that talks to service delivery, moves over to departments from 1st April will seriously address this matter. And we will be having sessions with the police within the week, within the March period, to ensure that we work together on how do we migrate the services over to them. So I would leave it there, Chair, but I do make a commitment here that within a week, we will provide you an update on the FPS. I don't know which, Chair, unfortunately, on top of my head, but I will make a written update to the committee as well, to the board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, CE. Acting DG, would you like to come in, please?
Thank you, Chair. I think the CE has captured the issues. Certainly, as we will, we've taken note of the comment by Honourable Siebe in terms of how then can we mitigate this going into the future. And correctly so, we will therefore address this in terms of the legislation. What I had alluded to earlier, to then say the departments would therefore going forward have control in certain aspects of the procurement of IT or ICT systems. We will come back, Chair, once that has been finalized and agreed upon by Cabinet. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Didi Jordan Jaini. We really appreciate that you stayed, and we welcome the inputs you have made, even though we know that we are not very pleased with those inputs. Thank you very much for the efforts you have made, and we will be contacting the minister and the deputy minister, and we certainly will be keeping the finger on the pulse. I cannot express our disappointment. You know, it is very good if someone is angry, but when someone is disappointed, the person is very deflated. And the committee is extremely deflated today. We are not going to leave it there. We are not going to do anything. We are not going to give up. We are going to intensify our efforts and speed up our efforts. We cannot disappoint our president and our nation at large. This is not about a political party, political matter. Our entire country is at risk because of unlicensed firearms, illegal firearms. We are looking at the systems we are looking at the symptoms. When we are at fault and our systems are failing us. So, Honorable DM, please round up and then I'll take the presentation on node. I'm not going to take more questions because it's very clear we're not going to get responses. Honorable Groenewald, you unfortunately are correct. Honorable DM? Yes?
There's one question that the DM said Major General Hankins will answer that maybe she forgot to answer. And that question is about the ownership of Veritas Building. And if, with your indulgence, Chairperson, I have two more questions out of what Major General Hankins has said. Thank you.
Honorable Meshum, I made a ruling that we are not going to take any further questions. Could I just have Major General Hankins respond quickly, please?
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, with regards to the ownership of the building, Chair, I can indicate, Chair, that the rental agreement is a contract between the Department of Public Works and the landlord, Chairperson. We can approach Department of Public Works to maybe provide the answer to the portfolio committee in writing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Meshu, you can take your questions directly with me. Don't even send it in writing. It is time now that we intervene promptly and that we receive. We are not going to receive answers until CETA and Public Works come to the party. I cannot sit with the same question for 2-3 years. And this is just completely unacceptable. I'm trying to get the minister and DG, and they also have an acting DG by the 11th of May. I'll inform the members, we must have the minister, deputy minister, and the acting DG. Our oversight visit has been approved, so the oversight, the house chair and the chief whip have approved the oversight visit. So before we call police station, please do remember that the oversight visit will be the first week in March, and we'll be visiting Nord and Tembisa. Deputy Minister.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I must say that with this thing of police having to rely or depend on the department for their tools of trade, it's a problem. Yesterday we took a decision that we must meet with Public Works to discuss urgently with them some of these challenges. It's just that this was like it broke the camel's back, the issue of an extra building where CFR must move to. We have had problems even to move to our new offices as the ministry and as a department in part of Telkom, because in Telkom we have got 10 towers. So we are going to occupy one of them. For us to move there, it was a big struggle with Public Works. And when we went through the offices yesterday for the Central Firearm Registry, we realized that if we don't meet with the minister agently, we are going to have a problem. So as we speak, we are facilitating for that meeting. But I'm happy with the decision that we must meet with Public Works, Communications and CETA at this platform so that we discuss the challenges that we have. But also from within the South African Police, Chair, I identify the weaknesses that we have within the supply chain space. The lack of construction management and the project management professionals within SAPS, they also contribute to the problem that that we are having of police stations that are being constructed forever. It's because of that weakness which we have observed, and we have interacted with supply chain to deal with that aspect. They are in the process to try and go out there and get people who are professionally trained as construction manager and a professionally trained project manager to come into the space, because the lack of these two components contribute a lot to the challenges that we have as the South African police. And the sooner we address this weakness, the better. But I think the other issues that have been raised are issues that have been responded to. But I'm a bit concerned with the issue that the chief executive raised about the alternative system, that they were requested to develop it, and later they were told to stop it. And now, just recently, a few weeks ago or so, they've been asked to start again. It's a serious concern. It's a recipe for a problem. So it means we have not, what we said is going to happen has not happened, because somebody stopped somebody. And I think that is a matter we need to take up, General Masemola, outside this meeting with CETA, so that we understand what happened, why were they told to stop, why were they told to start again recently, and we're not made aware of this dynamic. We only hear it now here when the chief executive responds. And if Honorable Whitfield did not ask a question, which was a general question, we wouldn't be knowing about this dimension. But thanks, Chair. These are our response to the issues that members have raised with us. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. I'm glad that you are raising the fact that even you had no knowledge of the system that is now being changed. Could we take that, the two of us take that after this meeting, please? Because I really have lost it.
Yeah, no, let's
the two of us take it after the meeting, please. We'll come back to you, Honorable Whitfield. Thank you very much for raising it. Honorable members, I'm now going to deal with a Node police station. A DM, you can introduce the presentation. And again, please, I do not want you to give us a line-by-line presentation, DM. They can just summarize each page. You will have 10 minutes to do your presentation. Thank you. Okay. Mr. Keiso still has his hand up.
I was not sure if we are allowed to listen on the next item, Chair. Just for protocol, I wanted to make sure you tell us what to do, Chair.
Yeah, no, in fact, I was going to ask that the chair allow you to disconnect, so that because this is about what we are doing at Norwood Police Station, and I think the chair should not have a problem in releasing CETA and Communications Department Acting DG.
Thank you very much. The CE of CETA, thank you very much to your team. And the acting DG, thank you very much to your team. Honorable Meshu, you are excused, and those members who have to leave. We will thank the Minister of Communications for releasing you at such short notice. We really appreciate the fact that the Minister of Communications allowed us to have you for such a long period. You are now released, and then we can start with the Node Police. Yes?
No, thanks, Chair. And
you can leave now.
Yeah, they have left. Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Through you, may we allow Lieutenant General Mawela, the Provincial Commissioner, to lead in the presentation. General Mawela, try to summarize, but make sure that members get the gist of what we are presenting because of time constraints. Over to you, General Mawela, through you, Chair.
General Mawela, before you start, our congratulations to you and your team. We are very proud of you. And thank your team on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, the Chair and the committee members. You may start, General Mawela.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, our Deputy Minister of Police, Kazan Matale, and General Masemola and all the Director Generals on the platform. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Through you, Honourable Chairperson, if it is possible, Brigadier Benda can quickly run through the presentation to save time. I think it's better than me in terms of moving faster.
Agreed.
Thank you very much, Brigadier Benda. Just a minute.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We're just struggling with the technology. We'll be slighting it in a moment. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members of the Committee, Honourable Deputy National Deputy Minister, the Deputy National Commissioners, Provincial Commissioner of Gauteng, the Divisional Commissioners, the component heads, all other senior managers and officials in the meeting. Thank you for the opportunity. I will take you through the presentation, which has been prepared in terms of the Norwood SAPS in terms of the theft of firearms. The table of contents, just a quick overview. We will do the purpose and we'll have a short summary of the station overview of the station profile, just for orientation of the committee and the audience. We look at the background to the firearm situation, as well as the measures implemented to address the areas of concern, and then lastly, in terms of the conclusion. Chair, the purpose of the presentation is simply to brief the Portfolio Committee as requested on matters pertaining to the Norwood Police Station, which will also then include the aspects relating to the theft of the firearms at the police station. Chair, we thought just to highlight the profile of the station to orientate the members of the committee, that you can see that the police station has been divided into four sectors. That is Norwood Police Station. Then it is surrounded by other police stations or areas, namely Sandringham, Bramley, Hillbrow, Yeovil, Cleveland, and Bedford View. Also, in terms of the profile, the size of the police station area, just to give an estimation on what is happening there, is 24 square kilometers, with an estimated population of 57,827, according to Stats SA major population. The unemployment rate is estimated at 23%. As we said, the number of sectors for policing purposes is four that the station has been divided into. In terms of classifications, the station has been classified as an urban station. There's three municipal wards that has been applicable to this station or which they fall in. And then in terms of crime weight, the Norwood Police Station figures at position number 98 of 143 police stations within the province. Just maybe to highlight one or two of the suburbs that is in the area is the Houghton Estate, Melrose North. We also have Norwood itself, Oaklands, and then Orange Grove and Linksfield. Those are some of the suburbs which form part of the different sectors within the police station. Chair, also then you'll see there it has been submitted that the infrastructure that the police station needs to deal with in terms of policing, and which also influence their policing. I will not go through them, maybe just highlighting one or two of them. The on-site consumption in terms of alcohol, the taverns, there are 54. Liquor outlets, there are 12. Hospitals, there's one, and there are 38 schools. I will move to the next slide and not spend time. In terms of the background to the current firearm situation that was prevailing there, during July 2021, our DPCI was informed that four firearms, which actually was previously submitted to the forensic lab, was recovered from crime scenes. One has been recovered in terms of Moinoi, which was a cash in transit robbery, and the other was a Brakpan cash, which highlighted that always applicable to attempted murders of SAPS members. It was then determined that the possibility therefore existed that these firearms actually were stolen from the Norwood SAP 13 store, and as such an inquiry was registered for investigation. The DPCI, as well as the National Priority Violent Crimes Bureau, then visited Norwood Police Station on the 3rd of August to do an audit of all the SAP 13 firearms at the station. Upon their arrival there, they actually found that the member responsible for the SAP 13 store, Sergeant Edwaba, was not available, and therefore then they all the locks, the safes, as well as the storeroom were sealed by the DPCI. A report was, however, received 2 days later on the 5th of August that these seals has been tampered with, whereafter a case docket for defeating the ends of justice was registered. It also then came to the attention of the DPCI that the SAPS member that is responsible, or the sergeant that is responsible for the SAP 13 store, then committed suicide on the 7th of August. The audit of the SAP 13 store then continued as from the 10th of August, during which various discrepancies and anomalies in
contravention.
Excuse me, sir.
Person. Chairperson, is it my slide that is not moving? I see the slides on my side are not moving.
Chairperson, I move to slide number 11 with your indulgence. The audit of the SAP 13 store, as I mentioned, Chair, continued from the 10th of August, during which various anomalies and contraventions of our prescripts were uncovered. The audit, however, included the following, and I will not highlight all of them. One of these procedures included the drawing of all ballistic reports pertaining to the firearms from the Norwood SAP store that would hand it in for analysis, following up on packaging notes to determine if the firearms were indeed sent for destruction, and also then the drawing of dockets to determine if any disposals orders were made on the docket regarding the firearms, which were acted upon without an entry being made in the relevant SAP 13 register. At the end, then a total of 704 firearms, Chair, were found in the SAP 13 store after conclusion of the audit. We'll move to the next slide. Chair, after the audit, it was then established to a reasonable degree of certainty that 175 firearms were missing from the safe in Norwood. These were comprising of 134 exhibit firearms, as well as 41 amnesty firearms. And unfortunately, this figure may also increase as investigation progresses. A total of 530 of these 704 firearms that were found were then test fired for IBIS purposes, that is the Integrated Ballistic Information System. The remainder of the firearms, however, could not be tested due to either unserviceability, age, as well as there were no ammunition available for that particular caliber of firearm. The investigation did this matter, however, to determine the exact number of firearms as well as the identification of possible suspects is ongoing by the DPCI. Chair, the station commander of Norwood at that stage, resigned then on the 14th of January, and an acting station commander in the person of Lieutenant Colonel Marte has since been appointed. Chair, we're moving forward in terms of the measures implemented to address the areas of concern. The first slide, they reflect that resulting from the occurrence.
Sorry, Chairperson. Chairperson. Chair, the slides are not moving.
We're on slide number 14, Chair.
But on our side, we're still on slide number 1.
Yeah, the slides are not moving, and the chairperson doesn't appear.
The slides are not moving.
I thought, you'll catch up with the slides. We also have
our recording copy. Stopped.
But can you move
recording in progress.
I was following on my hard copies. Can you move your slides, please?
Chairperson, if you just allow a minute, by us, the slides are moving. Let me just see if you can.
While you are moving your slides, you can continue. Those of us can follow on our computers and our hard copies.
Chair, I'll be on slide number. We're on slide number 14, Chair.
Yes.
Can I continue? Thank you, Chair.
Yes.
Those with the hard copies, if you can follow on slide number 14. Chair, we stated that resulting from the occurrences, including complaints that's received by the Community Policing Forum at Norwood, the following actions were implemented. And I'm going to highlight most of them relate to inspections. First of all, we had an inspection team comprising 6 members attached to our Provincial Detective Service is conducting intermittent inspections. The provincial inspectorate has also been tasked to do a full-scale inspection of all aspects at the Norwood Police Station. The establishment of a district intervention team during November 2021, which focused on case dockets versus the SAPS 13 exhibits. And then also the district commissioner directed a senior officer at the level of a brigadier who conducted an investigation in January, also where a number of shortcomings were identified. The result of this inspection that conducted was also then the institution of the disciplinary investigations against managers and supervisors, and the reference numbers have then been included in the slide. We're moving to slide number 15, Chair. Continuing with the measures that were implemented, disciplinary proceedings against junior members as well attached to the firearm, liquor and secondhand environment are also being dealt with in terms of our SAPS disciplinary regulations, and thus far functionaries for this process have been appointed. There was also a case docket analysis conducted by our crime intelligence on specific cases relating to drug charges. The investigation of the inquiry by the DPCI, as mentioned earlier in terms of the serious and violent crime inquiry, will be translated to a criminal investigation. This has in the meantime been conducted or have been translated to a major investigation in terms of Norwood Case 97 of 2022. And then lastly on that slide, share the development of an action plan specifically by the district commissioner, which is also addressing specific focus areas and including matters of concern which has been raised by the CPF have been developed and implemented. We're going to slide 16, Chair, in terms of the measures implemented. A new management team has since also been appointed at the North Police Station, and in terms of the different environments, it's as follows. The acting station commander is Lieutenant Colonel Mate. There's a new head of visible policing in the person of Lieutenant Colonel Mukhaile. The new head of detective services, Lieutenant Colonel Mahoa, and then the head of support services is Lieutenant Colonel Mia. Those are the new appointed as from the 1st of February. And although the station commander is still in an acting capacity, an application for the advertisement and permanent filling of the station commander's post is in process. So we're moving to the conclusion of the presentation in terms of slide number 18. The Gauteng SAPS management remains resolute in its fight against crime and corruption and in its endeavors to ensure effective governance. Chair, and where it is found that those are lacking, immediate and proper measures are instituted throughout various organization levels, being the provincial, the district and the station level, to ensure we redress these aspects that has been lacking. Thank you, Chair. With that, we conclude the presentation.
Thank you very much for that presentation. General Mawela, would you like to add something before I take questions?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. I just want to re-emphasize on our conclusion that it is indeed firearm proliferation, it remains a problem in our province. Even the big one of Canal Princeway, it has happened in our province. So we are definitely serious in dealing with these issues. And we will ensure that anyone who stands on our path to put things into good governance will be dealt with decisively. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, General. Honorable members, I'll now take hands. Honorable Whitfield, Sir Blanche. You may start, Honorable Whitfield.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think we all agree that for this to happen at one police station once off would be one thing, but to happen twice in the period of a year at a single police station is simply shocking. It's clear that SAPS members are complicit in the distribution of firearms from SAP 13 evidence stores into criminal hands, and the reference to Colonel Prinsloo is also evidence that members of the South African Police Service have been complicit in the distribution not only of the Z88 SAPS issued firearms, but also the surrendered firearms which end up at the SAP 13 evidence stores. Now, members of the public who have complied with the amnesty notice, law-abiding firearm owners, obviously expect their firearms to be safe in every police station or every locker at a provincial level or at a national level. Last year, Chairperson, when the Norwood station was in the news for all the wrong reasons again, we raised this issue of the audit. I'm very pleased that an audit has been done. But Chairperson, we need a response from SAPS at national level as to whether they have embarked upon an audit on the same terms which the audit at Norwood has been conducted at every single police station and every single evidence locker where firearms are kept. That's a critical question, Chair. We need a national firearms audit at every single police station. I'm aware of the enormity of the task, but until we are able to get an audited list of firearms, we will never be able to fully comprehend the national security risk which these police stations present, ironically, to the country. And I don't say that lightly, Chairperson, but police stations are often attacked. Their own security measures are not up to scratch. Criminals are not scared to pursue these attacks on police stations because more often than not, they don't fear the consequences. And in many of these attacks and many of these thefts, we see very serious firearms and ammunition, numbers of firearms and ammunition stolen. So, Chairperson, I think that we need as a committee to be very clear and united in our call for a national firearms audit at SAP 13 stores and any other lockers where firearms are kept. I think that the basis upon which the audit was done at Norwood is excellent, but we need to be preemptive. We can't be reactive to the next theft of firearms from a police station. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Whitfield. Honourable De Blanche.
Chairperson, thank you. My colleague, the Honourable Whitfield, covered a lot of ground, and I am covered to a large extent by him. And I'm just going to add some other issues that I still need clarity on. Chairperson, it's I noted that the person in charge of this store was only a sergeant. And I'm not saying that the sergeant is not competent enough, but I am just wondering, you know, and I would like to know from the police, you know, before this incident, when last was this store visited and inspected by any person, being the station commander, being the district office, being the provincial office, being the inspectorate? When last and how often have they visited this place, or did they just leave it, you know, to its own mercy? Chairperson, then, you know, yes, I also agree that, and I welcome the audit that was done, but I listened to the presentation and apparently that is still not a finalized number that we have, you know, because as the investigation is going on, you know, my understanding is that we can still get to a different picture, and I just want to get clarity on that. Chairperson, then, you know, I also want to mention that, you know, apparently, you know, firearms and the management or proper management, you know, of firearms are not regarded or taken seriously by the police. You know, and you know, we had, you know, incidences in, like that at the very same police station. And the question is, you know, what was the consequence management that was done? You know, there is just about or very limited consequence management in the police for, you know, this type of losses and whatever. And, you know, I just want to get clarity. You know, I want the police to indicate to us, what are they going to do differently now about consequence management, the investigation of this stuff. Chairperson, then let me just get to my last question here. Okay, now Chairperson, I'm covered for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable De Blanche. Honorable Peacock.
This opportunity to take a presentation. Greetings to the DM and to everyone on the platform. Chairperson, I've been partly covered by the previous speakers. My concern was also that a lot of police stations need to be an audit launched with regard to the firearms in all police stations. And secondly, the question that I would want to ask is that staff should provide the date on which the amnesty fires were surrendered and indicate why the firearm was still held at the police station. On the previous presentation that we got from staff was that the central storage facilities were established in all provinces and surrender firearms were identified. But now with regard to all the challenges that we have seen from Norwood, it seems that we'll have to have a launch, which will be a national launch, in order to make sure that whatever was found at Norwood should not happen to all the provinces, and to indicate to us that there was a process plan that was set for the amnesty. But now when you look at it, it seems as if not all police stations really complied to that. So we'd really appreciate if that will be considered as an urgent matter. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable DM and your team, you can respond to. Honorable DM, could you please convey the message to the Minister and the NASCOM? We have done so already. I'll remind them that we have agreed that responses need to be sent to us 2 weeks after the meeting. So your responses to questions which were not responded to last week would be due next week. This thing that we have to wait indefinitely for responses has come to an end. Your presentations have to be with us a week before the meeting. If your presentation is not with us a week before the meeting, you'll come to the meeting without a presentation. Thank you very much, Honorable DM and your team. You may respond. Peacock, you may lower your hand.
Thank you very much, Chair. We note the decisions of the committee. We will try our best to comply. I'll request General Masemola and the team through General Mawela to respond to the concerns raised. Thank you, Chair. Through you.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members and the DM. On the question of the need for national firearm audit, Honorable Chairperson, we do have a national team, but it's quite limited. We will embark on that. We will look at getting borrowing or calling up members from various police stations and see what we can have a bigger capacity to undertake such a task. And with regard to central storages, yes, we do have most of the provinces. I think the provincial commissioner will answer on that one. We do have identified storages, and we had also a process flow in terms of how and what, how we should do things. And I think I'll ask the provincial commissioner just to respond on the last three questions. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
Thank you very much. You may continue.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Starting with the question raised by Honorable Whitfield that it has happened twice. The theft in Norwood, it is for the first time it has happened. It didn't happen twice at the same police station. But we know that previously there were those kind of incidents in other police stations, starting from the time of Colonel Grenstraw. And the issue of the audit in the SAP 13 stores, yes, as we have mentioned in our presentation, in Gauteng, we have already started with it because of we believe that it may also be happening in other stations. So we will fit our outcomes to the national commissioner so that he can report back to the whole to the committee as to what is that which we have found with our audit. The storage facilities which Anna Masanda is referring to, yes, in Gauteng we've already identified Pretoria West for Tshwane, we have identified Krugersdorp for West Rand, Johannesburg Central for Johannesburg District, Germiston for Ekurhuleni, Vereeniging for Sidibe, because those are the facilities which we feel that at least for now, they do meet the minimum security standards, which we feel that the firearms will be secured in that particular space. Coming to the issue of Honorable Terre Blanche, to want to know when last was the inspection done at the police station. Honorable members will also recall in our presentation, we spoke about the DRs, which are open, the disciplinary register, which were open against the members. We have halted our regulation. It was precisely to address that, because in terms of the national instructions, there is an expectation or an obligation for weekly inspection, for monthly inspections, which are conducted regularly at station level. So the head of visible policing at the station have the responsibility to conduct those kinds of inspections. The station commander have the responsibility to conduct the monthly SMP 13 inspection. So those things were not done by the previous management, hence we have opened the DR against all of them. Again, when we look back from the at the provincial level and the district level, well, previously we didn't have the district, but the last provincial inspection which was conducted at that police station was in 2014. And then 2019, when they were preparing for submission of their firearms for destruction, that's where also the attendance was given to the SMP 13. But ever since, as part of one of our interventions to this problem, we have ordered a full-scale inspection by our provincial inspectorate, of which it has already started by the 1st of February. Regarding to the question which was asked by Honorable Member Peacock about the amnesty, yes, the firearms which we have received, it was during the 2019-2020 amnesty, and the second one was received between the 2020-2021 as amnesties. And for Norwood, 444 was received during the first one, and 200 was received during the second one. And we are following the process which General Masemula have elaborated on, the test firing, the IB testing and so forth, and then these firearms are taken through for the necessary processing, whether it's for destruction or the new licenses need to be issued. But honorable members will also recall that all this process was stalled when this incident was reported to us, and we completely sealed the SAP testing so that there must never be any activity in that particular space to allow DBCI to continue with their audit. I think those are the questions raised. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much for those responses. Honorable members, the sound wasn't very good. If there's still something that you'd like to ask, you have an opportunity now. Honorable members, I see the end of the Blanche. You may continue, Honorable the Blanche. Maybe you didn't hear or there's something that wasn't responded to.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, I want to thank the general for the responses, but I haven't got a response yet on the issue of the consequence management. And if I can just get something on that, thank you.
Thank you, Honorable De Blanche. General, could you assist with that response, please?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Like I've said, that we have opened the DR, and the two DRs open is to deal with the management of the station for their failure to comply with the prescript. There is also a DR which is currently underway, whereby the flash member at the station also failed to comply with the prescript. It's underway. Criminal cases are opened. Even though our main suspect has decided to commit suicide, but those who are still around, including the resigned station commander, it doesn't mean they are off the hook, because now the inquiry which was opened by the DPCR, it is now translated into the criminal case, which means that they are collecting concrete evidence against those who have also participated, whether directly or indirectly, to the loss of this firearms at the station. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Honorable members, do you have any further questions? If not, DM, you can conclude now.
Thanks very much, Chair, and thanks, Honorable Members, for the questions. And thanks to the team led by General Masemola, General Vuma, and General Mawela for responding to the issues. We take note of the concerns that the Chair has raised and the timelines with regard to both our submissions and the written responses to outstanding questions. We will do our best to comply, Chair. Where there are challenges, we will engage with yourselves, but hopefully we will not have serious difficulties to respond to your request. Thank you very much for the opportunity and the moment you gave us to appear before the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deem. And thank you very much for the team for the presentation, General Masemola, General Mawela, all the generals who responded on the Central Firearm Registry. We do not have the luxury of time. We've run out of time. We can only commit ourselves to working together as a team. Honorable General Mawela will be there during the first week of March. You will be part of those preparations and the visit. We'll send you the details of our preparations and of the visit. General Mawela, you've been very, very helpful in assisting this committee. We call on you to assist us with the oversight visit. And you know, we know that you and your office are very professional and that you will assist. Honorable Deputy Minister, please convey our greetings to the Minister and the National Commissioner. We understand that the item on the Cabinet agenda requires us to have our input there, or else decisions will be taken on our behalf without us. We also understand that the Select Committee on Intelligence can only receive either the Minister or the National Commissioner, and that they cannot send a representative. So we understand those apologies. Honorable members, this brings to the end the business of today, which was very businesslike, but which carried so many concerns and complaints. It has set the tone for the work. The President in his State of the Nation address set the tone for the agenda for the Justice Crime Prevention Cluster. Our role as police is central to the functioning of that cluster. And Deputy Minister and your team, you know that we will be we will really be kept on our toes, and we appreciate your support and your hard work. With those words, I'd like to declare the meeting over, and good luck to those who will be responding by the media or other measures to the budget speech of today. Those who will be attending physically in the house will meet later today. If not, we'll be meeting virtually next week. Thank you very much, honorable members, for your participation, for your contributions, for the very good presentations. I thank you all. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Thanks, General Masimola. Thank you.